I want to start a series this Sunday on pressing on. Pressing on. And Philippians 3:12-14. Philippians 3, 12 through 14. Okay? I'll give you a chance to turn there. Philippians 3, 12 through 14. Now, Paul is writing here, and he's telling the Philippians, I have, not that I have already attained or am perfect, but I press on that I may lay hold on that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, in these verses, you see that Paul is showing an attitude that he's going to do everything he can to obtain that all that God has for him. He stresses here, I believe, having the right attitude to experience everything. We got to realize that attitude has a lot to do with our success in life. Attitude causes you to fail or causes you to succeed. And so the title of my message today in this first session on pressing on is Attitudes, Friend or Foe. Okay? Our attitude can be our best friend or our worst enemy. Our attitude can either help us win or cause us to lose in life. You know, I found it necessary to cultivate certain attitudes that have helped me to be successful in life. One of the attitudes that I have gotten, you know, and you hear people say, oh, they got an attitude. Well, hey, I'm telling you today, you need to get some attitudes. That's why it either helps you or it hinders you. But get the right kind of attitude. Usually when somebody say they got an attitude, they're talking about a wrong kind of attitude. No, we need to have the right kind of attitude. And I got one of my attitudes that I've developed from my dad. And his attitude was this: God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. And you've heard me say that lots of times from this pulpit. But that's an attitude that you have to get a hold of. Another attitude that I have adopted, and all of you know what it is, I cannot be defeated and I will not quit. Right? Those are good attitudes to have. You know, we all have attitudes. We all get, you know, some are good and some are bad. The bad ones you need to get rid of, the good ones you need to retain and cultivate. You know, Ephesians 4:23. Find it on your device or in your Bible. You know, I see some of you got both, and you're finding it in both. That's good. If you find it on your device, I'm going to read New King James, and then I'm going to go to the NLT. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, the NLT says it like this, the New Living Translation. I like this. Instead, there must be a spiritual renewal of your thoughts and attitudes. Your thoughts and attitudes. You know, our attitudes affect us more than we realize in life. You know, our attitudes determines what we achieve or don't achieve. A willing attitude helps you to accomplish a lot. An unwilling attitude, your performance is less than it could be. You know. Now, in playing ball and on ball teams and stuff, you know, everybody, you know, they got a position they'd like to play. But then the coach wants them to play a different position. They go out and do it, but they don't have an attitude, and you can tell it in their performance. They don't perform up to their capability. My attitude when I was on playing on teams, hey, wherever you need me, coach, that's where I'll play. With that kind of attitude, then you give it all you got. I do the same thing in anything I do. If I'm going to get on this platform and I'm going to preach, my attitude is, hey, I'm going to give you all I got. Then somebody said, well, that ain't very much. Well, that's all I got. And you heard me say this before. I had one coach tell me, said, Hagin, you're not as talented as Jimmy over there, but you play because I know that you will give me 110%. In other words, my attitude when I went on the field was, I give it everything I got. If you don't have that attitude, my dad gave me that attitude because he told me as I was growing up, he said, son, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing right, or don't do it at all. So that's the way I operate. See, you know, someone said that a good attitude is a rare commodity in the workplace. Well, I don't know whether that's so or not. Because my attitude is, somebody said, how do you do what you do? This is what I do. This is me. And whatever, if you're not happy in your job, you better get an attitude you are, or go find a job where what you enjoy doing. Then it's not work, but it's how you sustain yourself. Attitude is important. Excuse me. You know, a person may not be qualified for a job, but they get the job because they have an attitude of I can accomplish, I can do. We need to develop the attitude of I can do. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can. You need to develop an attitude of I can. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need an attitude of I can. I had a gray-headed lady, first grade teacher. Her name was Miss Fowler. I still remember it. She asked somebody to do something. I think it was Jack. And he said, I can't. And she turned around and wrote on the board in real big letters, don't ever say, I can't. Always say, I can. Because if you believe you can, you will. If you believe you can't, you won't. I remember that, and that was about 25 years ago, I guess, now. Why is everybody laughing? How many years ago would first grade be? It'd be a bunch of years ago. What, 70 years ago? Maybe, yeah, 71, because I'm 77, so it'd be 71 years ago, first grade. But anyway, you know, now, if somebody comes up, you know, let me get back here where I was. I lost my place there for a minute. We were talking about a person may not be qualified, but their attitude causes them to get the job because they say they can. And most of the time they will. Our attitude determines what we receive and what we don't receive. Sometimes people have too much of a passive attitude. They're willing to live with whatever happens. The whatever will be situation. You know, we're sometimes too passive about the things of God. He has told us that he wants us to have an abundant life. Is that not so? Yeah. Yet you find people, even though they know the promises, they are passive about pressing in and receiving what God said belongs to them. You know, they have an attitude that they're waiting on God. If God has already said it in his word, then you're not waiting on God. He's waiting on you to come and receive it. You know, that's a cop-out for some people. Now, you know, waiting on God would be like somebody coming up to me and saying, hey, I need $100. Could you help me out? Okay? And I reach in my pocket and I hold out a $100 bill to them. And they just stand there. So that's a passive attitude, you see. They're waiting for me to push it on them. See, they're waiting. Let me tell you what. God is not going to push anything on you. But he is going to give you everything that you will press into his word and get from him that he already says that is yours. See, the people who receive the blessing of God are those that have the attitude, I'm going to press in. I'm going to get what God has for me. Receiving from God takes an attitude of action. But receiving anything takes an attitude of action. Am I right or wrong? Now, let's look at Paul and think about him and sort of look at, and maybe we can get something from him about attitude. In Acts 26:2, here he states, in the New King James, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because today I shall answer for myself before you concerning all the things which I'm accused of by the Jews. Now he's standing in chains in the court. He is a prisoner, and he says, I'm happy. The Amplified says, I consider myself fortunate, King Agrippa, that it is before you that I'm able to make my defense today in regard to all the charges brought against me. And then the literal version says, I count myself happy. Now, it wasn't a happy situation, but Paul had an attitude that he was happy any time that he got to talk about Jesus. See, that's what he did. They were accused him. So he went before King Agrippa and he told King Agrippa about his conversion and about Jesus, right? He made it. He had an attitude. I'm happy that I'm able to talk about Christ. He had an attitude. It wasn't a happy situation, but he was happy. Even when he was a prisoner, he always looked at the positive. You can read that in his writings because he wrote the epistle of Ephesians to the Ephesians when he was in chains, in prison. And he said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. That's where he said that. He said, God supplies all of my needs. We quote those all the time, but we don't ever realize where he was. So those are positive attitude statements, are they not? Hello. You know, He didn't get arrested and then decide he needed to develop a positive attitude. He had that all along. See, you can't wait till adversity comes and then decide you're going to develop the right attitude. Hello. See, you develop the right attitude long before, because that determines how you act when you get in a situation. You respond to circumstances in life according to the attitudes that you have developed. You respond to stress, with work-related stress, with an attitude that you have developed long before. Yes, okay, this is a stressful situation, but hey, I can do it. And you tackle it. You see, so many people, they don't have the right attitude, so when they got everything pressing in on top of them, they get nothing accomplished. Because they don't have an I can do attitude. You've got to develop the I can do attitude and then start taking it one thing at a time. See, develop I can do attitude, write down everything you got to do, and then take it one step at a time, one step at a time, one thing at a time. See, so many people, their attitude is, oh, I got so much to do, I can't get it done. And nothing happens. You got to develop attitude, I can do it, and you start doing it. Chunk, 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 chunk. Just take it down. Hello. See, your attitude determines your altitude in life. We got to realize our attitude takes us up or takes us down. Negative attitude will limit what you're getting, and it'll put you down. A positive attitude will help you discover things in life. The things that God wants you to have. Now, you have to keep your attitude, and if you're flying, you have to keep your attitude corrected. I took flying lessons. I almost had my license and realized I was too busy to fly enough to be a good pilot, so I quit. But I tell you what, that little right there and those wings, you better make sure that the attitude is level all the time. Because if they're like this, then you got a problem. If they're like this, you got a problem. Hello. Then there's another thing that determines your altitude. It's called an altimeter. And you got to keep continually resetting that altimeter as you fly. Is that not correct? There's an F-16 pilot over there, retired Lieutenant Colonel Morin over there. Hallelujah. Pray, give him a hand, yeah. I know they were, when I was in taking training, they said if you take off in New Orleans and you don't continue to reset your altimeter, by the time you get to Houston, Texas, you're flying into the ground. And I got any other pilots in here? Let me see your hand. Wave at me if I got any more pilots in here. Yeah. Is that, did they not teach that to you in school? So what does that tell us? We have to continually be aware of our attitude and reset it. If not, we're going to crash and burn because you'll get in a negative flow. So let's look in the Word of God and see somebody that had a beat up attitude. Jacob. Go to Genesis 42. Genesis 42. Here he is. Verse 36. And Jacob their father said to them, you bereave me. Joseph is no more. Simeon is no more. Because they, and you want to take Benjamin. All these things are against me. Revised Standard said, all this has come upon me. New Jerusalem Bible says, all this I must bear. The New International Version says, everything's against me. Now, in all fairness to Jacob, he had some issues and some problems. You know, but he developed this attitude, everything's against me. Have you ever run into somebody that they got that kind of attitude? Everything is oh, man, everything I do is wrong. Hello? Come on, don't look at me like that. It's the truth. And I know every one of us have run into, how many of you have run into somebody like that? Everything's against me. They got the poor old me attitude. See? He thought that he had lost Joseph. He thought he was dead. And the wife that he really loved was Rachel. She's gone. Simeon then had been accused of spying over there in Egypt, and now they left him there. And now he has to bring Benjamin back. Now, he had a few family problems. Then besides that, now there's a famine going on, and they're starving to death. And his attitude is not helping the situation very much. You know, the poor old me attitude. Woe is me. That's his attitude. In the midst of his trouble, Jacob forgot that God is more than enough. Instead of having a positive attitude, he had a negative attitude. Yeah. So now, here is Jacob with his woe is me attitude. Poor old me. Everybody's against me. Everything's against me. Okay? Now we got Paul over here with the upbeat attitude. In spite of everything he's going through, he still had an upbeat attitude. And we see this in Romans 8:37. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors to him who loved us. See, even in his despair, he was not forgetting and having a positive attitude toward the things of God. Jacob, on the other hand, oh, poor me. God's not helping me. Oh, this is just awful. On the other hand, Paul said, hey, I may be in prison, but I'm more than a conqueror. Despite this overwhelming victory is ours through Jesus Christ. Johnson paraphrase says, no, in all these circumstances, we may live triumphantly through God's love. The Williams translation. And yet in all these things, we keep on gloriously conquering through him who loved us. Can you see Paul had a different attitude from what Jacob had? Here's one attitude. Oh, poor old me. Here's another attitude. Hey, praise the Lord. I'm everything God says I am. I can have everything God says I can have. Okay? Now, I saved the best one, I think, to last, the Rickard translation. Listen, in all things, Jesus, our great leader, has established us as invincible champions through his amazing provision for us. See, we, according to what Paul says, are invincible champions. Invincible means you can't be conquered. So keep your attitude. I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. I'm invincible in Christ Jesus. Somebody say, oh yeah, but Paul, he didn't have no problem. He didn't. Well, go to 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23. We'll start reading. And now he's talking about himself and all the people that are talking about him and giving him a hard time. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I'm more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prison more frequently, in death often. From the Jews 5 times received 40 stripes minus one. 39 stripes, that is. He got them 5 times. 5 times he took 39 stripes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. And night and the day have I been in the deep, in the sea. In journeys, often in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of Gentiles, in the perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in the cold and nakedness, besides the other things what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. And yet he said, I'm more than a conqueror. Yet he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, today you may be surrounded with some trouble, but don't let the trouble inside of you. Paul was surrounded with circumstances and situation and difficulties, but he didn't let the trouble inside of him. He kept the positive attitude that with Christ, I am more than a conqueror. With Christ, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can overcome. I cannot be defeated because I'm in Christ. Hello, the attitude. Anybody getting a hold of this? Viktor Frankl, a World War II Holocaust victim, said this: the last of the human freedoms to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances. You can choose your attitude in any given set of circumstances. And that's what I'm trying to get across to you today. Paul developed the winning attitude in spite of all the trouble he faced. What was the difference between Jacob and Paul? Their attitude. Today, if you need to change your attitude, here's the way to do it. If you need to keep your attitude in the right perspective, here's the way to do it. Remember, God loves you and cares for you no matter what's going on. 2, meditate on the promises of God and his abundant provision. 3, believe God hears you when you ask him to deliver you out of your troubles. And 4, confess God's promises on yourself and to yourself. Confess God's promises on yourself or over yourself and to yourself daily. Keep the attitude, I can because of who I am in Christ. I can because he has set me free and he's delivered me. We sang the song and got excited about no more shackles, no more chains. Hallelujah. But you see, you've got to keep that attitude all the time. I don't care if everything's pressing in on side of you. I don't care what's happening. I don't care what's coming down the pike towards you. Keep your attitude positive in Christ. I am a conqueror in Christ Jesus. You can go with Jacob's attitude. Oh, what am I going to do now? Poor old me. Or you can go with Paul's attitude. I thank God. I always triumphed in Christ Jesus. None of these things move me, Paul said with his attitude. None of these things move me. He's talking about all that other stuff. His attitude. Listen, I want to tell you, if you're going to press in to the things of God, you've got to have the proper attitude. You can use the same thing I'm talking about in the natural also. If you're going to succeed in the natural, it won't be easy. You're going to have stuff coming against you, but you press on anyway. Get that attitude. I can. My attitude. I cannot be defeated, and I will not quit. I will not quit. When I was playing ball, football, I knew I didn't have a crying chance of catching the guy that he was running for the touchdown. But I kept running, and because I wouldn't quit until he crossed the goal line. And I was so proud of my grandson, Skyler. In a game, he playing football for Summit Christian the other day. And this guy, Skyler was playing on the other side of the field. And he took off running after the guy as hard as he could run. And some of the other guys started quitting. And him and another boy were the only two that were still running after the guy. But he wouldn't quit till he went across the goal line to blow the whistle. I was proud of him for that. I'm proud of all my grandsons. But I said, hey, that he gets that attitude from his poppy. He don't quit. Well, hey, that's the attitude. If you develop that attitude in sports and in your job and everything you do, then you can carry that same attitude over here with God, and you can't be defeated. The devil can't take away from you. He can't destroy you. He can't take you under. Hallelujah. Anybody get anything today? Glory to God. Let's stand up and praise God. Father, I thank you that we develop the I can do attitude. Because you said in your word that we could be more than conquerors. And we develop the attitude of, I can do. I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. Well, did you get anything out of this today? Hallelujah to Jesus. Bow your heads with me for just a moment. If you're in this place and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to know Him. If you do not know that you're in the right position with Christ, you don't know whether you've ever accepted Him or not. Well, you can know today. Or if you know what it is to serve, but you turned your back and you've gone away, and you need to rededicate your life. Anybody on any one of those three invitations, upstairs, downstairs, anywhere in the room, let me see your hand today. I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. You need Jesus. You need to rededicate your life. You need a no-so experience with God. You don't know whether you've ever accepted Christ or not. Yeah, I went in, run into a guy not very long ago. He said, I've been in church all my life when as a kid. But he said, I still go to church. But I don't know whether I've ever actually personally ever accepted Christ or not. And he said, I want to do that. You might be in that category. Anybody, anywhere in the room. Let me see your hand. Anybody. Heavenly Father, I don't see any hands in here today. If there be one individual in this place that does not know you as their personal Savior, I pray that the convicting power of the Holy Spirit would go with them and they would not be able to do anything until they stop and accept you or rededicate their life to you. In Jesus' name, I thank you for it. Amen and amen.